Hello, welcome to the WDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a great friend of the show, a great friend of mine personally, and you've heard him before. It's Scott Ferrioli. Scott is the owner of Buy and Sell DVC and DVC-Rental. But we're not here to talk about DVC today. We're here for something completely different. But anyways, good morning, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Chris. As always, thank you very much for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
This is a morning show, so we promise this. Stacy Nyman is going to be returning very shortly. During the summertime, my job really starts to get busy, and my hours of operation are pretty crazy. So we try to fit in shows where we can. So, Scott, I certainly appreciate you adjusting your morning schedule to accommodate and come on and joining us. But I got a little bit of a Pike's Place Starbucks today in my cup. I know you're not a Starbucks drinker or a coffee drinker. Do you have any kind of morning liquid, any kind of morning motivation in front of you at all? Or are you just coasting on fumes right now? What's the story?
Yeah, my big pick-me-up is ice water. I find that just invigorates me and lifts me up for the day.
What's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. Everyone just furrowed their brow and said, there's something wrong with this guy. Anyways.
I'm not a coffee guy. I don't mind tea, but it's not like I drink tea probably 2 times a year. Or if I'm sick, I'll have, tea and honey 15 times in a day. But otherwise, I drink tea once every 6 months, maybe, not too often at all.
Well, it wasn't always like this for me. My at one point, I was an Earl Grey tea drinker myself. And then Earl Grey kind of led me to a stronger brew of Earl Grey, which led me to some coffee. And now I'm about a 6 cup of coffee guy a day. So you kind of just fall down the Alice's.
Earl Grey, the gateway tea.
Right? It's the gateway tea. Everything's going south since then. Anyways, so as we mentioned, Scott is the president, the owner of Buy and Sell DVC and DVC-Rental. So it is a DVC resale company. Also, Scott's got a group. Okay, help me out in this, brother, because we've been talking about this for 6 years. It's Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC, correct? That's the Facebook page
you have. We want to have everything. If you're doing a search, we kind of wanted to have everything pull up. So now it's just quite a mouthful. Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC on Facebook. And that group is mainly it was originally created for a place where you could talk about purchasing or selling, your Disney Vacation Club via the resale market, because there were no other groups that did that. But truthfully, now it's kind of more of a Disney catch-all. It's still mostly focused on DVC, but you don't have to be a DVC member to join it. If you want to just go in there and talk about Disney or talk about, a new attraction that's opening or anything, a new restaurant, please feel free to join and chat. It's a drama-free group, and we appreciate everybody who posts in there.
Outstanding. So I appreciate the on-the-nose, title. So if you do that keyword search, we went the opposite direction with the name of our show. So you literally got to think this one through, and people don't even understand what it means, but we're still here after all these years and we're still doing great. So God bless. What I would ask before we start the show, I made a note here that if you're listening to us, if you've listened to us for 350 plus episodes, or this is episode number one, when you're done, or even right now, we'll wait. If you pause, I promise. If you can go and give us a review, we'd appreciate that. Reviews do help move us up in the search rankings, which I'm proud to say, as far as iTunes, as far as Apple Podcasts, if you search the word Disney, we're one of the first 10. If you search the word Disneyland, we're one of the first 3. So
that's amazing considering how many Disney podcasts are out there.
Scott, we went from being, we hope we make 6 episodes, to we hope we made 10 episodes, to now 350. And we're still, there are still some shows that have much more than we do, but we've been around for a long time, and every show is well received, and we're doing great.
We're still limping along here, so
no, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. Everything we do, I'm proud of. So you guys, anyways, leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate that. So here we go. Here's what we're going to talk about today. Something a little different. So Scott, the Ferriolis, the Maliks, the Murrays, and Cindy Ellicott, we just returned from a trip to Disneyland in California, and there's going to be a trip report talking about a lot of cool things and a lot of things we didn't expect, and some ins and outs, which will help you plan for your California trip if you are planning on taking one, such as the Genie Plus and all this good stuff. But the two parks in California share some attractions with the parks in Florida. Some are almost identical, and some are Kentucky cousins. They're really close, but kind of not like similar. And we want to do a little compare and contrast of the attractions. And we essentially want to talk about 10 attractions. And there are some that didn't even make the list. So we have honorable mentions for several attractions. And there's going to be several more that we're going to miss just because we don't have time to discuss them all. But things like Star Tours or Smuggler's Run or Rise or Midway Mania or The Carousel or Little Mermaid or for that matter, even Soarin', we're actually not going to discuss today. So they get honorable mentions as attractions that both exist in California and Florida. And so we're just going to bypass those attractions, though I would say Soarin', as you mentioned yesterday, is very similar in terms of what you see, minus the end scene. But it's really the queue that differentiates the two attractions in Epcot and over in California Adventure. But we're going to bypass that. So in comparing and contrasting these attractions, we need to talk about two aspects. We're going to talk about the queue, and we're going to talk about the attraction itself, because both of those put together make up the attraction, right? We're assuming that the ride experience is going to be pretty similar, and the background musics are going to be very similar. But we're going to talk about like the buildup, the queue, and then the attraction itself. And we're going to kind of go through each one briefly, because knowing you and me, we can probably talk for a couple hours. So we're going to expedite this. So you up for the challenge? We got 10 of them written down. You good for that?
I think I'm up for it. I wasn't sure we're doing, I didn't know we were doing the queue part of it. And I'm going, all right, we had the Genie Plus
for it's okay.
A lot of the stuff. So I'm going, I think we might have missed a decent amount of the queue. So I'm going, we'll see.
we'll work through that. Don't worry. We're going to work through it. So
I'll lean on you.
This is from our experience just recently. And if we miss something that you said, guys, you completely missed this. That's okay. Let us know. Search us out. Search us out in Scott's group. Search us out in Edcot. Search us out in the Dubs page, wherever you want to reach us. But let's get some heavy hitters out of the way. But as I look in this list, honestly, they're all heavy hitters. Every one of these attractions could be the number one attraction to review. So, but let's do some of the ones that are a little easier, like Space Mountain. Let's talk about Space Mountain briefly here. How can we do this? Should we make a sentence or two on the queue in both and then a sentence or two on the ride vehicle? Or do you want to go with a three words approach? How do you think we can encompass this best for 10 attractions, Scott?
I don't know, because I'm terrible at this. I'm already sitting here panicking going, I don't remember what the queue is. I can picture, I know the queue at Walt Disney World. I can't picture what the queue was like at Disneyland.
Did you even go on vacation, Scott?
I'm not sure.
Were you even there? So
I think I was snacking during these queues. I wasn't paying attention.
You must have been. So here, let me describe then. So Space Mountain queue is situated in the corner of Tomorrowland in Disneyland. It's in the corner of Walt Disney World itself too. But in Disneyland, there's a restaurant. It used to be the pizza parlor over in the corner, and you enter this long hallway and it works back and forward, but it's largely outside until the last, I would say maybe 150 yards. Unlike Walt Disney World, where you enter the queue and it's a 3.5 mile tunnel. Through the Star Tunnel. It's not 3.5 miles, but it feels like it. And there's some interactive scenes where now you look inside what would be a space station and you're looking at planetary structures and stuff like that. So I would say that honestly, as far as queues go, the Walt Disney World one is a better experience because you're protected from the sun. And in California, you're not for some of that attraction. You're actually outside for some of that attraction.
I mean, in all honesty, that's pretty much every attraction at Disneyland. That's what things I dislike the most about Disneyland. And I understand it's because they needed space. And maybe, they originally designed the queues outside because it's California and it doesn't get the same extreme heat that Florida gets. Mm-hmm. But, Florida has those great indoor queues, air conditioned. And normally, as you know, the queues are telling the story before you get to the ride. Whereas Disneyland, a lot of times you're just outside, going on concrete, just going through metal chain, fencing, and then you pop inside the ride. And then you've got, as you said, 100 feet of inside queue, and then you're on the ride already.
So I agree with that. Outside of some of the ambiance and some of these that we're going to talk about today, it really sets the story well. It really brings you into that environment really well. So yeah, you're right. In California, it literally is a queue. It's a steel, yeah. It's a chain queue where it doesn't tell a story. But I would say that as far as portraying the story of what would Space Mountain be, right? I think Walt Disney World does a better job. Okay. Yes. Now, as far as ride vehicles, the difference is in Florida, you sit back to back, right? So it's a single file line, one rider, and you sit in a seat.
Well, not
back to back.
Back to back, but yeah, single file, all facing forward vehicle. You know, there's two attached vehicles that hold a total of six people.
Correct. So better description. Three. But in California, what does the ride vehicle look like?
I can't remember exactly how many are together. But they're two next to each other. Is it two and two?
Yes.
It's a little, the vehicle holds four. Mm-hmm. They're four and four attached.
I believe so. Yes.
Two cars attached, four and four. You know, two people sit next to each other in each spot.
Okay. So,
which I like.
So we're sitting next to somebody as opposed to behind somebody. So your experience is better when you're screaming your head off by yourself and there's no one to support you, or when you've got a friend in the ride vehicle itself.
I'm trying to think. I was going to say it's much more comfortable in Disneyland when you're two and two and you just sit in there. Where in Disney World, as you know, you have to really climb into it, get down, your feet go forward into like the next person in front of you. And maybe that's more exciting and fun. Like you're locked in, you're like on ground level and like maybe more of a part of the ride. But I liked having the two and two, easier to get into. It's nice having a buddy to scream next to.
Okay. So I'll give that one to you as far as that benefit. I think I was leaning towards the Disneyland version of this, especially when I visited the Hyperspace Mountain. But honestly, I think maybe being by yourself might offer the better experience, in my opinion, only because you really don't know where you're going. You never do. You know, the max speed on this attraction is relatively slow, but since it's dark and it's taking turns and dips that you're not expecting and you're by yourself, it just heightens that experience. But you are right. You've got to work to get in. You've got to work to get in that seat and get out of that seat for sure.
Yeah. And if you're a bigger guy, it's even harder for a lot of people. So it's the Disney World one is definitely tough to get into. But you make a very good point. I figured, you know, with you getting down and getting that low, you're really into the ride. Like, you know, I figured it's a different level, different perspective. But I thought the Disneyland ride was awesome.
Okay. You said bigger guy. God bless. What else have you described bigger guys as? What was the shape you described them as many, many, many shows ago?
The term is poo-shaped.
Yeah. Poo-shaped.
Like Winnie the Pooh.
It's a further explanation. There we go.
You say poo shaped. So if you're not thinking Winnie the Pooh, you're like, wow, that's really messed up.
Winnie the Pooh. They just trash those big guys. Okay, there we go. So let's go to number two on the list.
Before we go on, I just want to say Disneyland ride, so much better. Really black in there, much more stars, better dips. I mean, I was laughing and smiling the whole time through it. I mean, I thought honestly, because I know we just kind of went through it quickly, I thought Disneyland blows away Walt Disney World on Space Mountain.
Wow. Yeah. So as far as the actual track itself, I didn't feel like there was that much of a difference.
It was definitely different. Right now, I go on the one at Disney World, the decent amount. Like, I know where every dip is. I know where the turns are. This ride was different because I didn't know where anything was coming from. So, I couldn't see the track, but I mean, it was definitely different because I knew nothing.
Okay. So, would we say queue Walt Disney World, but ride itself Disneyland?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Number two, let's go to the Jungle Cruise. Okay. So as far as Jungle Cruise goes, as far as the queue goes, so in Florida, the queue is just off the Tiki Room, just off of Adventureland there. You kind of take a few steps down, and it's kind of situated off to the side and to the left. In Disneyland, it's also off to the left, but towards the main street of Adventureland. You kind of hit the Tiki Room. On one side, you've got the shop, and you've got, you know, it's a double-decker structure right there.
Yes. That's what I was going to point out is that, you know, while we didn't go through the main queue, the one thing I did notice is that when we boarded the boat, I looked up and there was a second level with people on top of it. So, yeah, double-decker structure for the queue.
Now, I don't know if there's anything really that integral in the second level that you wouldn't necessarily see on the first level or, in fact, at Walt Disney World, but spacing is an issue at Disneyland. they lack for space. So just in the sheer amount of people, and if you've ever waited not early in the day or late in the night, if you were a middle of the day standby rider for Jungle Cruise, it's always 45 minutes to an hour, right? So there's a ton of people on that attraction. So you need to figure out where to put these people. So we're just going to stack them up on top of each other over in California. Whereas in Walt Disney World, there's a little more space for size. Though I would think that most of those sights, posters, sounds are very similar at both places. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I again, didn't go through the whole queue, but I mean, it seemed that way, that they're very, very similar.
Okay, so we're going to go with a draw there. Ride itself, attraction itself, what do you think about comparing both of those?
Very similar to the Disney World attraction. Is missing a couple things, a couple edit things. Like I like the little piranhas that they have in there, mm-hmm. which if you're if you're on the right side of the boat, there's definitely the piranhas there. If you're on the left, I'm not 100% sure if there's piranhas on that side as well. There probably is, but very, very similar. But the main thing I noticed is it's missing the whole end scene that Walt Disney World has, the going through the temple, correct. Which adds on as well. So the ride's a decent amount shorter, but I mean, otherwise very similar. Very similar jokes, just mm-hmm. a shorter version of the ride.
Correct. Now, I agree with you. I would tend to think the Walt Disney World version might be a little more complete, though it is fun sitting in the boat knowing that Walt took that exact same canal.
Yeah.
And Thurl Ravenscroft was the initial announcer of the, you know, and at one time, I don't know if you know this, at one time it was supposed to be a serious tour. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
It was a serious tour, and it was supposed to show you the animals and the exhibits from all across the world. And they realized it didn't resound better. And so after a few jokes went into the tour, they realized it hit with the audience much better. But it was a serious tour at first, and it was a dangerous safari into in the rivers. So, yeah, it wasn't always skipper puns and jokes. So, but I agree, you know, the Walt Disney World version, based on just the spacing of it and based on the temple, I think that's a better experience in Florida. Yeah,
I agree completely with you.
All right. So look at that. We've got two so far that have gone to Florida. So, all right.
First I went to Disneyland, at least for me, Space Mountain. I thought Space Mountain Disneyland was much better.
Okay. You know, maybe I should have considered that and then qualified that by saying the queue in Space Mountain. So let's go to the Indiana Jones attraction, since we're talking about Adventureland. And then the dinosaur attraction over in Animal Kingdom. So these aren't direct comparisons. They use the same vehicle, the ride vehicle system. So mm-hmm. that is the Time Rover, Indiana Jones, Land Cruiser type structure, where it operates independently, both in terms of chassis moving up and down, left, right, and forward and back, while simultaneously driving through the scene. So it uses that. Obviously, the attraction is different. It's themed differently. Yes. But let's talk about the queue of both of those. So hit us up with the queue in both, please.
Well, this one for Disney, as I mentioned, Disneyland, a lot of times the main queue is outside, which I really dislike. But again, they've got to do what they can with the space. This is one of the ones that a lot of the queue is indoors, and I think that Disney does a very good job with both of them. They're both very intricate. The one, I think Indiana Jones is a better queue than Dinosaur. Dinosaur, you didn't just, you know, you walk through like a little, almost you feel like you're in a, what's it called?
Laboratory? Museum?
I say museum. It's more of like a museum. You know, they've got the dinosaur. They've got some, you know, the bones and stuff up there. You feel like you're in a museum. Then you go and you learn a little bit about it. And then essentially you're like in the underbelly of a museum or whatever. And, you know, you've got the pipes everywhere. So I know it's probably what they were going for, but it's not super exciting. Just it's kind of a basic queue where at Disneyland Indiana Jones, fully themed queue, reminds me a lot of the Mummy ride at Universal Studios, where it's dark and there's noises and stuff kind of like pops a little bit, and there's, you know, the rope that says, you know, don't pull here, and there's a lot of stuff going on in it. And I'm trying to think right now if there's any other queue at Disneyland that I think that's as good as that queue. I may be missing it, but I think right now Indiana Jones may have the most intricate queue out of any of the Disneyland rides.
Well, and if you're a fan of the Indiana Jones movies, it really tells a story and it's fun. It puts you in the middle of a excavation site, in the middle of an underbelly of a temple. The ladders, the equipment, the carvings into the wall are all phenomenal, but it's lengthy. It is a long queue. So there is some extensive walking required to actually get to the ride vehicle. And that's just based on, again, size. So they had to put the attraction where they could, and they had to lead you from the main strip in Adventureland all the way through, down, around. So in order to do that, they had to tell a long story. So, you know, let's not have an elongated temple
for you. And it's one of the most popular rides, so you need to have a longer queue, because otherwise, you know, the queue is going to go outside and it's going to be going all the way to Fantasyland.
Yes. So there's a tip. If you don't buy Genie Plus and you're in standby and you can see the back end of people there, if you could see the stoppage of people and standby and it's not actually inside right towards the entrance, you're going to want to pass this attraction because that wait will be extensive. So when you start entering the temple, you're like, okay, great. We're going to be at the ride vehicle soon. You are not. You will not be at the ride vehicle soon. So if you see people, it's too long of a wait. You're going to want to pass and come back at a later point. So what about the attraction itself? Describe, please.
The attraction, again, same exact ride vehicles as Dinosaur, but the story is wonderful. I mean, it's a longer ride. It's definitely faster and more aggressive, I'll say, for lack of a better term, than Dinosaur. I mean, it throws you around a lot more than Dinosaur does. It's a fantastic ride. I mean, it's probably, in my opinion, the best ride at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Going through the different rooms, and you see Indiana Jones, and then they've got the giant. Why they don't make, this is going to have spoilers, everybody. Why they don't make that giant cobra move or do something instead of just sitting there looking at you? I don't know. Not the entrance. When you're going through the ride, you go around the turn, and there's the giant cobra there. I'm like, I don't know if it at one point was an animatronic and it's gone Yeti and it doesn't move. Or I'm guessing it never has. But I'm like, why wouldn't they have an animatronic or just moved a little bit, just instead of just sitting there? But I mean, overall, fantastic ride, ton of fun. I like the Dinosaur ride. It's one of my favorite rides at Disney. In Animal Kingdom, there's not a ton of rides in Animal Kingdom, but it's a very good ride. But this one is just really, really well done. Not as scary for little kids as Dinosaur in Animal Kingdom. Longer and just a blast.
Gotcha. That cobra is, though, at the entrance of the actual attraction. Not when you're walking, when you're actually in your vehicle. It's towards the very beginning of your tour, you know, through the temple. So it's towards the start of it. But I thought the same thing too. So, you know, obviously the dinosaur attraction supports the land it's in Animal Kingdom. You know, it supports that land. But I agree as well. I like Dinosaur, but the first time that I rode Indiana Jones attraction, I was like, this is like a next level type attraction. Yeah. Really good. Inside, I know you're supposed to be inside of a temple. Again, we're not trying to give too many spoilers away, but it feels cavernous in there. Like the space, you're like, holy cow, I've never seen an indoor space.
Yes,
it's huge. So would we say both
good point on that as well, though, because again, with Dinosaur, everything's literally like, you feel like it's right there on top of you, where you're going through Indiana Jones and you're looking around and you're like, this is a big, massive cave. This is, you're absolutely correct.
Would we say then Disneyland, both for queue and attraction here for this? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Moving on here. How about Pirates of the Caribbean? Okay, so we've got a few things to cover here. And I thought about this morning of how I was going to go and sell one way or another. And I was stuck here for a moment. Let's review the queues of those attractions. So hit us up with the queue of Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Sorry, all of a sudden, the audio of you just got really, really loud in my ear, so I'm not sure if that's just on my side or if that's on the recording.
Well, I could be excited for the Pirates of the Caribbean, so maybe it's me. So let's review the queue of the Pirates of the Caribbean at, and I think I've said it now both ways. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean, Scott? Which way do you say it so I don't offend any aficionados of the ride?
I'm horrible because I say it both ways.
I do too.
I mean, and they'll say, oh, you know, you, you, You can't say Caribbean Beach and Pirates of the Caribbean the same exact way. And I'm like, I do, or I swap them around. I don't have a right way. I say Pirates of the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean. Normally, I think Caribbean is where I normally say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, if you're listening, we're from Chicago and New Jersey, so inherently we already say words incorrectly. So it's just part of what you're going to get with us. So, okay, let's talk about the Pirates Q. In Florida, what does the Pirates Q look like?
Pirates Q is mostly kind of, it's going through
Castillo del Moro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Castillo del Moro. So you're going through like a castle, an indoor, there's dungeons and everything. There's not a ton going, there's different spots where, you know, they've got, you know, like cannons and cannonballs set up, or they had pirates, you know, playing chess that were skeletons, and there's little stuff to look at, but there's nothing, and music's constantly going and a little ambiance going in. Not a ton of, it's not like it's an amazingly interactive queue, but it's well done and it's definitely themed for the ride and it gets you ready for everything. At Disneyland, again, 90% of the queue is outside, mm-hmm. walking through the chain fences. And then once you get inside, there's some paintings on the wall of different pirates. You see the end of the ride, which is kind of cool. I like that when you walk in there, you'll see boats going by with a little island that's set up. But I mean, that's basically it for the queue. You walk down literally, as you said, 100 feet and you're boarding the ride. So I can be hard to disagree with this, but the Walt Disney World queue is 10 times better than what they have at Disneyland.
Yeah, it definitely sets the scene better. It definitely tells, there's not much of a story to be told other than you're approaching a fort, right? And yes. You feel like you're in the Caribbean, where that's the big difference. So in Walt Disney World, you're in the Caribbean. In California, you're not. You approach Lafitte's Landing, and you're not. You're in New Orleans. So you're in the bayou for the Pirates of the Caribbean in California, where it's different in Florida. But you're right. A lot of that queue's outside. Inside, you see the boat. You approach. You board. And now you're on the attraction. So I would agree with you. Walt Disney World definitely sets that scene better. Okay. Attraction. Let's talk about that. Feel free, buddy.
All right, now Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my favorite attractions at Disney World. Mm-hmm. So I'm mostly going to the. I think most people probably know what the Disney World attraction is like. I don't know if we should be going to the full explanation of everything.
There's an entrance. There's a single drop. You sort of see some of the skeletons. You hit the drop, and now you're in the town, right? So yeah, you see the battle, yeah,
yes, gotcha, exactly. Okay. And that's Walt Disney World. Disneyland, you start going through the bayou. You open up in the swamplands in the bayou. You go through past the Blue Bayou restaurants on the right-hand side. And I felt that in Disney World, it takes off right away and it gets to the excitement. Disneyland takes a little while. Again, I'll preface this by saying also Disneyland has, we'll say, 2.5 drops versus Disney World's 1. So in Disneyland, you go to the drop, and then you go to the bayou scene, and it's slower. It's you got some fireflies. You go through a little shack, and you're like, okay, this is. I feel like I'm almost in like Small World. It's slow. It's a Small World, and you're waiting for something to happen. And then you've got the pirate ship, and a lot of stuff is very, very similar to Walt Disney World. But then there's some amazing extra scenes afterwards, and there's the 2.5 drops. So while I find that the Disneyland ride starts off a little bit slower, like Disney World gets you right in there right away. You're like, here's the action, and you're coasting right along. Disneyland slowly builds up to it a little bit more, and then it's pretty much the same ride as Disney World, and then all this extra bonus stuff mixed in there as well that makes the Disneyland version definitely better.
Gotcha. You are right. There's 2 drops. There's a bunch of scenes you don't get in Florida. There's pre-scenes and there's post-scenes. And I hate to expose them, but all of them are really helpful to the story they're trying to tell you. Do you know why there's 2 drops, Scott, in California?
I do they have to get underneath something more? Yes. I forget what it was. Okay.
Yes, they have to get underneath the train. So yeah, so the ride vehicle actually goes outside of the park and then comes back inside the park. There's a massive lift after the attraction's over, and that lift, it's long. It's a long uphill climb for the boat. But yeah, it's an extended ride version of it. It just feels like a more complete story, you know, treasure room and, you know, whatnot, and the skeleton in the bed scene, you know, and stuff like that. You feel like you're seeing a more complete version of the story. I agree with you. It's a lot better in California. It's definitely the big brother to the little brother, you know, in Florida. So,
and again, Pirates is one of my favorites. Pirates is one of my favorites at Disney World. So I'm going, the one in Disneyland is definitely better though.
Gotcha. So we're going to say Q, Walt Disney World attraction, Disneyland. Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. How about if we hit, since you mentioned Small World, and I don't want to correct you. I would say it's probably more equivalent to the Tres Caballeros speed and thematic than the Small World attraction. You know, that's kind of the vibe that it puts out there for the first part of that. But since you mentioned Small World, let's hit up Small World. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Well, this is a trickier one because I'm going with the queues first here. Mm-hmm. I'm going Disneyland's again. The entire queue is outside,
which is cool because you don't really get that, you know, at Walt Disney World, and you see that iconic showpiece. We're inside
huge facade for Disneyland's Small World. It's absolutely amazing.
Yes.
So it's like, it's outside. I was like, this is a tough one because I go, it's outside, which, you know, I like a little AC, a little cover, but the queue at Disney World is kind of nothing fancy. It's outside a little bit, but kind of covered. And then you walk down the ramp, you know, you walk over the water, you know, via a little bridge and then walk down the ramp. So while it's inside, there's not as much of a queue, you know, there's nothing really great going on.
Correct.
So it's a tough one because I go, Disney World is inside at least, but just the whole big, you know, the giant facade of Small World. I guess I'll go with Disneyland on this one just because of how big and impressive it is. And every 15 minutes, you know, the clock puts on a little show for you. It's playing music. I mean, I know it does something similar. It does it at Disney World too, but this is like big and impressive and makes you look. So I'm going to go with Disneyland.
I can sell you on that even further because in California, you actually can see the train pass through and behind the facade. And if you turn in the other direction, you would see the hints of the Matterhorn. So there's more to observe and just soak in. Whereas in Florida, you know, you're literally protected and you're in a pretty enclosed environment right there. You only get to see people and, you know, a smaller facade. You know,
but I get to feel air conditioning.
This is true. So let's talk about that just briefly before we enter the attraction. California is beautiful as far as the weather goes. You start the mornings off, and so we went in mid-July. You start the mornings off, and they're pretty temperate. It's not very hot to start the day. And the day does start to cook, right? I mean, California is a weird climate where you could be by the ocean, and it could be 68 degrees. And you could be in California Adventure, and it could be 80 degrees. And you could be another 20 miles inland in Palm Springs, and it could be 110 degrees. And that difference is 40 miles from start to finish of the variation. The middle of the day, California, like Florida, is generally sunny and hot. But as soon as the sun goes down, that chill descends in California, where you wouldn't expect it to be as cool as it was at nighttime. And you oftentimes had to bring a sweatshirt during the middle of the day to protect you for that chill, or you were considering buying a sweatshirt. And that's how cold it gets. And you're not expecting that in the middle of July. So it's a little different, you know, to be out there at summertime.
I really, from living in Florida, I never felt like I needed to buy a sweatshirt or anything personally. However, the early mornings, and you know, when we met up for breakfast and then those evenings was really, really nice and appreciated. And it's nice, you know, when I'm expecting hot weather and all of a sudden, like, you walk outside or, you know, it'll be hot. We'll go to dinner. And by the time we walk outside, we're like, oh, it's dropped from 85 to 65. This is nice. Yeah. Humidity's gone. It's a little crispy almost. It's like, this is good. I like this.
Gotcha. Here we are. We're on the attraction now. Small World. Sir. It's very similar, right, at both places. Outside of, in California, the boat actually goes outside. You literally load outside and you take the canal outside. You have a little bend around left side. I would say maybe a total of 75 yards of total space. And then you're inside the ride and attraction itself, the covered show buildings. And though they may be shaped slightly different, essentially it takes you on a loop around through all the countries. I don't know if there's all that much difference outside of, I did notice in California, maybe I was being a little more critical than I should be. It seemed like quite a few of the animatronics weren't working. Did you pick that up?
I noticed a few weren't. I didn't notice that there was a good amount. I noticed a few. I mean, the main difference is that, you know, in Disneyland, they have some Disney characters peppered in there as well, which I really enjoyed, mostly just trying to find them. But I mean, otherwise, it's basically the same ride. I mean, it's very, very, very similar ride. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's, you know, it turns differently. Maybe some different rooms are a little bit different. But I mean, otherwise, it's basically the same ride. I guess, yeah, maybe not as well kept after. But, I mean, I just enjoyed sitting there trying to find the different characters. Going, you know, where's Pumbaa? Oh, my God, there's Pumbaa, then Simba. And, you know, it's like there's trying to find different things. But, I mean, basically,
yeah,
exactly. It's Jesse and Woody and Bullseye. So it's basically the same exact ride, just with a couple added figures.
Scott, do you get as angry in the final scene as I do?
I don't believe I do. I don't think I do. Because I can't think of
that
the final scene, like, why you'd be angry. I don't.
I'll tell you why I'm angry. So let me just go and if you've ever thought this, I agree. You're on a color explosion throughout the attraction, right? You're experiencing cultures, and you're experiencing these gorgeous Mary Blair-esque sights, right? It's designed that way because they want to show you the difference of the cultures, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And the last room is supposed to show you how we're all one peoples, right?
Yes.
And then the final scene is this whitish, bluish, silverish hue, and it's supposed to signify all the nations of the world and everybody is just one peoples and how we all are supposed to have this. But it aesthetically, like, it's a disappointment to me, not because of the message, because of the actual lack of color in that final scene. You've been so accustomed to seeing this explosion of sights and sounds and colors and ambiance, and then all of a sudden it's here, we're all one of this very boring. It makes me angry. It makes me makes me unnaturally angry to get to that final scene. It's the biggest letdown. Please tell me someone else agrees with me and send me that message so I could at least have a little support. But yeah,
I've never gotten angry over it. And I'll tell you right now that I'm sure that the first several times I ever rode the ride, you know, I didn't know a ton about Disney and I didn't catch it. That's what they were actually going for. You know, I hit the final scene. I'm like, oh, okay, we must be in some, you know, Nordic country now. Everything's kind of like white and icy type snowy thing, you know,
yeah,
white and snowy. And like, okay, I don't know what scene this is. You know, we're out of, you know, the Polynesian area. What is this place? And, you know, I found that afterwards, oh, that was just everyone combined, you know, just taking away essentially all the colors and showing how similar everything is. I was like, oh,
so angry.
Didn't get that angry the first time.
So, all right. So where are we going here? Are we going to say, we're going to say the queue is Disneyland, but the attraction we're going to say is Thai. Would you agree on that?
Tied to, again, maybe I would just give a slight edge to Disneyland just because it's the same ride with the extra characters. So, I mean, gotcha. It's nothing, you know, I'm not sitting there going, oh yeah, that blows it away. You know, I've got to do that one.
Gotcha. All right. Let's talk about Autopia versus the Speedway, right? So this is, you would think, well, yeah, it's going to be a very similar attraction. It's not. The queue, I would say, is very similar, right? You're outside, you're smelling gasoline exhaust, right? Fumes. The actual vehicles are shaped differently. In Florida, they look like Corvette Stingrays, like 1977, 1978 Corvette Stingrays. But in California, they're shaped like Hondas and Volkswagens. So they are shaped a little differently. They were sponsored by Honda. I think they still are sponsored by Honda. So the vehicle itself is shaped differently. But so we're going to say, as far as Q goes, we're going to say pretty similar, pretty boring back and forward outside.
Yes, I would.
There's not a lot of story to be told, correct, buddy?
Correct. I would agree with that.
All right.
Why don't you take the lead on this one? Because I'm sitting again. I've only done it once. I'm like, I didn't remember too much. I know you know a lot about this one more than me. So I'll let you grab it by the horns.
I'm not a Speedway expert, but I will say this. The Speedway takes you on a track, right? It's all one level. It's very similar terrain. and it's largely open area, right? You're by Tron and whatnot. You get a nice view, but you feel like it's an extension of the first 50 yards and it extends 700 more yards past that. And it feels very similar with twists and turns. But in California, you walk through a show scene and they're trying to show you what Tomorrowland is. And they show you different versions of what tomorrow could be. They have a spaceman over here with a different structure. And you're through a largely shaded area. Some parts of the track, you're actually off-road. It's designed to actually take you on different terrain. I don't know if you remember that, but it definitely...
I remember that part.
Yeah.
You mentioned the spaceman. I'm like, I must have been too busy trying to race somebody. I don't remember the spaceman part.
Yes.
I was like, you take the reins on this one, buddy.
There are several scenes that are different, and they try to go and tell you a Tomorrowland-type story. And I don't know if there's a cohesive message other than saying, here's what tomorrow could look like, and they try to portray an outdoor scene. But definitely the track feels longer to me in California. Mm-hmm. So just for the combined effort and the fact that it's not the same surface area and though it's shaded, I'm going to give that advantage to Disneyland for that version of that. So yes, it's very similar, right? The kids can ride. As a matter of fact, I rode with Everly. Everly drove the vehicle. So it's very similar. Scott, who'd you ride with, Scott? I'm just curious.
For that one, I was by myself. I think I shouldn't say Jeremy grabbed Tyler. Tyler grabbed Jeremy, and my other son, Trent, was with my wife. So I think I was solo on that one. And that one bothered me a little bit because I'm sitting there, and I'm going along, and there's people passing me. And these people passing me have, you know, two adults in their vehicle, probably combined, or, you know, 400 pounds. I'm going, why the heck are they going faster than me? And I'm like, I'm nowhere near 400 pounds.
Scott, you were snacking a lot. I'm just going to throw it off.
You were snacking a lot.
I'm just going to say.
I don't think I got near 400, though. But, I mean, I had a few snacks. But I was going, man, they're passing me. What the heck? And I'm sitting there going, why is my car not going faster? I think I was focused on that. And that's why I was missing the ambiance of the ride. And I was missing the spaceman. And I was missing the story of the ride. Because I was just ticked off that I was getting passed by people.
Maybe they saw you were a senior driver and they wanted to give you a little safer vehicle. Oh. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I was wondering why mine had the old man bumper guards on it. And I had the little sticks on the sides for parking. There you go. Yeah.
There you go. The placard for parking.
Area. Exactly.
All right. So let's compare the railroad, right? The Walt Disney World Railroad hasn't seemingly run for a long time, but we can all remember that since we're all longtime Disney fans. And the Disneyland Railroad, which actually for itself was shut down for quite some time too as well, but we had the opportunity to ride the Disneyland Railroad and we remember the Walt Disney World Railroad. The biggest difference of those two, Q is the same, right? You've got yourself, your stations, right?
Outside station, yeah.
Correct. So the Q we're going to say is a tie. We're going to bypass that. In California, the train is situated where you don't sit facing forward. You sit actually facing in away from the berm, and it was designed that way so you would focus inside the park as opposed to potentially seeing what's out in Harbor Boulevard and Catella. You would actually see what's inside the attraction. So you sit sideways, sort of like your dad's 1982 Oldsmobile station wagon, where the seat would be situated kind of awkwardly in the back of the vehicle. You're situated facing inside, moving sideways through the attraction. The other big difference is there's an indoor show scene in California that you don't get at Walt Disney World. And that indoor show scene is not new. It's an old part of that attraction. It's been there, I may want to say, since the origination of the railroad. Do you remember the two scenes of the inside, Scott, of what they try to portray?
There was, before you got started, there was the dinosaur scene.
The dinosaur scene is the second version of it.
But yeah, the one before that, I don't know if it was like coyotes. Or, all I remember is that, I know we did this at two different times, but the first time we went through it, all the people, we had a large family in front of us, and they all started howling and screaming. For that scene was probably... we'll say, I don't know, 30 seconds long, or at least that's how long they were howling and screaming at the top of their lungs for. And you're inside, so everything is echoing, and they are just yelling, and I wanted to smack them.
Scott chose violence that day. So, but he didn't actually choose the violence. He was thinking
about it. I chose to be good, but I mean, oh, man, it's just – And there's a bunch of them, so you know, I didn't want to get in a fight with 15 people. But oh, they're just screaming and howling. And I was like, oh my God.
It's supposed to portray a Grand Canyon scene. So it is the Grand Canyon.
Were there wolves or something in this scene?
Yes. There's wolves, there's ghosts. There's a lightning strike during the middle of it and a fire.
Yes, a fire.
And then the dinosaur scene is very reminiscent of Universe of Energy, old school Universe of Energy, if you would kind of go through there. I struggle to put the two and two together of what they, the story told there, but it was cute to see the actual diorama of something that had Disney history on it. So again, you're indoors on this one, right? And you're facing the berm or at Walt Disney World. Now the story around the Rivers of America is very similar. And you see, you know, the Indian encampment and you see, you know, the riverboat and you see the back end of Splash Mountain. You see the inside of the Zippity Lady, you know, in both. But so the actual tour itself is pretty similar. But I would say based on the fact that I'm focused inside the park for a better view, for a fireworks view at nighttime, perhaps, and the indoor diorama, I would say the Disneyland version, it gave me a better attraction than the Walt Disney World version.
I agree with that one as well. Mostly just because, again, with the way you're facing. When the regular one, it's a regular train, you're facing forward, so you're constantly looking back and forth on both sides. And, you know, there's multiple cars, so depending on where you're seated, I should say, there's the front of the car right in front of you. So a lot of times you can only see stuff like as it's popping out on the sides around you. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this faces you out the side way, facing out the side, everything's open. You know exactly where to look and they're able to focus exactly what you're supposed to be looking on at. I definitely appreciate that much more. And I definitely give the nod, again, not a giant nod, but I definitely give the nod to Disneyland.
All right. Just to give you a summary so far, we've had 7 attractions. The only attraction we would actually say is superior at Walt Disney World right now is 1 out of 7. Just want to point that out. And that's the Jungle Cruise. So, however, so far we've had several queues that are superior at Walt Disney World. And there's been a few ties. So interesting how we feel some of the attractions, most of the attractions are better in California right now, but the queues are better in Florida. And I don't know if that deals with the indoor for some of these protection from the sun, or if they're just more thoroughly designed to handle the traffic flow, as Florida tends to be way busier than California tends to be. So, all right, we got 3 more left, and one of them is a direct copy, and then 2 of them are cousins. So let's deal with the direct copy. Big Thunder Mountain. Let's go to Big Thunder Mountain. So you want to talk about the queue and the attraction in both, buddy?
Sure. I mean, I both of them, very similar. A lot of the queues are outside or they eventually go inside the building and everything is open. So you know, there's a little air conditioning pumping in, but most of it is outside. It's the hotter queue for both places. Very, very similar queues. I mean, I don't recall if there's really too much of a difference. I mean, they're themed around the mining. The thing is we walked through a lot of this one with the queue. Like I missed the queue based on where, you know, we were, but I can tell you now the theming of the Disneyland one is actually very well done with little jokes throughout the way and little plaques that tell you like how much you've got to pay to do the mining or sleeping arrangements or funeral arrangements or like little jokes. There's lots of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the one at Disneyland is the same. I don't really know because again, we bypassed a lot of that.
So in Florida, they've tried to improve the queue and tell the story of, and if I get this wrong, I apologize, like Barnabas Bullion, you know, they try to tell the story of, you know, his mining exploits and whatnot.
I didn't know there was one specific person. Okay.
Yeah. They've developed a backstory behind him. And in California, they're more or less just setting the scene that you're in a mining town at this point, you know, Rainbow Ridge. Mm-hmm. And they're telling you the story of being in the town. It's largely outdoors, but it's beautiful. Whereas I feel like in Florida, the outside version just kind of brings you back and forth up to the mine building itself, where outside you kind of go and you're not exploring, but you feel like you're in, not in the town, but you're kind of in the town setting, you know, in California. So it's hard again to determine the winner of this one. I'm going to say again, tie for the queue for both of these. What about attraction itself?
Attraction, tougher one because, again, it's a coaster. So I'm going, there may be some differences in track. It's very, very similar. I might be missing one thing as well, but I'm going, you know, I'm used to the Disney World one, and it seemed almost identical to that, except mainly for one scene. I know in the beginning of the Disney World ride, you go through the cave and there's like bats and stuff, and they did not have that at Disneyland. But I really liked, again, with this coaster, that's, you know, it's a roller coaster, then it turns, you know, has slower times where you're climbing hills and stuff. And Disneyland has a really cool one where you're going through the cave and there's fires that are started, and then you've got the fuses that are lit going up the wall. So you're watching these lights and fuses go up the wall with you. And then there's dynamite up there, and it's hitting explosions and little, like, you know, smokes coming out, and it's got great ambiance of the noises and everything. Really love that scene.
Yeah.
So
at nighttime, it's magnified, Scott. We wrote it during the daytime, so we didn't quite get the full aspect of the explosion. There is one other difference, and that's at the end of the ride. You actually you're not taking a tour, but the train car itself travels through the town in California. Where in Florida, it doesn't. It brings you back to the station.
They remember the little houses and stuff, the little shops that were set up as like a little saloon or something. And
correct. Yeah. So for those itself, I would say the Disneyland version is a better attraction.
Yep.
So just as a point of note here, not that we're comparing them. So in Disneyland Paris, you travel under the Rivers of America for this attraction to the middle on an island. And it's a high speed coaster. We're not talking like a maximum G force type coaster, like Rock and Roller Coaster, but it's definitely a different vehicle. It's definitely a high speed attraction in Disneyland Paris. It's even cooler than the one in California. So the Disneyland Paris version is really pretty fantastic. Ooh. But I would say maybe we've been there. So I would say though that the Disneyland version is a better version for those additional scenes that we don't have in Florida.
Yes, very similar, but yes, I did really appreciate the additional scenes.
Okay, Test Track and Radiator Springs Racers. So Test Track was revised a few times in Epcot, and Radiator Springs Racers is the showpiece, is the big hitter of Cars Land in California Adventure.
Yes.
So I would say that as far as queue goes, you know, you're largely outside, you're taking a tour through Radiator Springs, you see Stanley in the fountain, and you're largely loading on an outside version of, you know, that ride vehicle. Whereas in Epcot, though you are inside, the interactive feature, when it is operational, it does provide an interactive element, as well as you see some of the prototype vehicles and whatnot in Florida. It's hard to believe this because I love Cars. It may be my favorite Pixar. It may be my favorite Disney movie is Cars.
Really?
And I genuinely like, you know, that whole experience in California. But I think just for the interactive feature alone, I might give the nod actually to Test Track in Epcot just because it's interactive and there's something to do in the queue as opposed to, well, you don't have that in California.
Interesting. I think you may have just persuaded me to go over to your side and go with Test Track. I was originally thinking I was going to go with Cars, Radiator Springs, but I mean the air conditioning and again all the interactive stuff. Again, I'm going to agree with you.
Okay, now that's not to say that it's not a fantastic looking queue and it tells the story of Radiator Springs well.
It's a very good queue. A little shade would be nice every now and then.
True. What about the actual attraction itself?
This one's not even close.
Not even close.
You're agreeing? Not even close? Correct. Oh, yeah. Test Track. This is not even my favorite version of Test Track. I don't think it's super well done. I mean, it's a fun ride. And, you know, your car is supposedly going against other cars that have been created by other people. But, I mean, Radiator Springs is just... I mean, as you know, you start off in your car. It goes off slow. And you go around the bend, and they've got the music playing, and then they've got the big reveal where you go into the real land, we'll say, and you've got the waterfall coming down. And
it's freaking emotional. You're all emotional looking at it. Oh, you're like in tears. It's emotional.
And again, they've got that music queued up perfectly to that. With when you see the waterfall, and you're like, holy crap, this is amazing in here.
Yes.
It's and then they've got the full animatronics of the cars, and they're moving and they're talking with you and they're interacting, and eventually, you know, you're zipping through there, you know, racing the other car. Chris had such a wonderful time making fun of the other car that he beat.
Losers.
Exactly.
Walk around all day with shame. So yeah, you're in the story of cars. Oh, right? You see all the characters.
You're in the land.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
You see the sheriff. You see Mater. You see everybody, and you have a choice. And again, spoilers. You know, your car either goes.
Well, you can choose it, but there's two paths that you can go.
Sorry. Correct. It diverts either to Ramon's or Luigi's, and you get either a new paint scheme or you get new tires. And you actually, it's not interactive, but the car moves for tires, or you feel like a little bit of water droplets with the paint.
Yeah, it sprays a little mist on you for the paint. Yeah.
Which only sets up the final scene, which is a race. You race against another car, and you know you got Doc there. You got to tell you, hey, this is where we're gonna start, and here's the race. And then as you're driving along, you're on a track racing next to your opponent.
It's back and forth. You know who's gonna pull out of the head.
Correct. And if you win, you get to hold that that right of bragging all day long and turn to your opponent and give them the sign of victory and let them carry on with their miserable day as they took second place is what we did. But
we are grown men and we wanted to win so badly. I mean, I know you won and you were super happy. When I did it this last time, we lost. Again, I think we think it could, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I think it could be which way your guy goes, whether you get the paint job or you get the tires. But I mean, you're racing them and they're looking at you and you're like pointing at them back and forth.
Who doesn't want to win? Who doesn't want to win and be a
grown man? And I'm
like,
I'm going to beat these darn kids, you know?
Let me just crush them for the day. So, okay. So we're going to say
grandma's going to eat my rubber.
Exactly. So we're going to say the Walt Disney World version for the queue and the Disneyland version for the actual attraction.
Yes.
Last one for today, guys, because we have gone probably longer than I expected. But last one, because, you know, I love talking about this. Here we go. So
this
we've got
a tough one for me. This is a tough one.
This is very tough. This is the Tower of Terror.
Oh.
This is the Tower of Terror versus Guardians.
I thought we had one more. Okay.
Oh, maybe I missed one. I'm sorry. So the Tower of Terror versus Guardians Mission Breakout.
This is not a tough one for me.
Okay. this is tougher for me because the Guardians. Some people love the movies and some people don't. Rick Forbes doesn't enjoy the movies, or at least the verse version of the movie. I happen to love the Guardians movies. It speaks to me. I love the comedy. I love the humor. I love the story. Chris Pratt, you know, I love all the characters. It is a great story. Yondu is, you know, one of my favorite anti-heroes to become heroes, you know? So, Ronan was one of my favorite villains. So I love the story of the Guardians. The Tower of Terror, I got to tell you, as far as setting the story, I love the cue of Mission Breakout. I do. You actually can see Figment up there if you look really close. He's kind of obscured in one of the boxes. Did you see it?
I didn't see him.
Oh, I have to show you my picture. So you can see Figment in one of Tavon's boxes, and you're told the story of the collector.
Thanks for pointing him out to me, man. Right by you. You didn't point him out to me.
Well, I did. You know what? I can prove it to you because Murray took a picture. So he listened and took a picture of Figment. So you're told the story of Tavon, right? And the collector. Mm-hmm. And you go into what would be the Twilight Zone room where they gather you and they tell you the story of the Twilight Zone. But you gather and Tavon is telling you his story. And then Rocket chimes in and Rocket says, we're going to cause a little disruption. And he goes in to tell you his Rocket story. And that room is filled with really cool Guardians like memorabilia and artifacts and things that are relevant to the movies. And then this is the Disneyland version. You enter, you know, essentially what would be Tavon's tower of, you know, the downstairs. It is essentially the boiler room, but converted to like a futuristic space age type collection room. And you enter the ride vehicle, and the ride vehicle, it doesn't travel horizontally through the structure. It starts at the moment in a vertical up down scenario. Okay.
Yeah.
We're in California. You enter through the queue and it sets this wonderful story, this creepy story of this hotel. And it builds this anxiety and this dread you know something's wrong, yeah, you know, when you enter this hotel. And it really tells you the story well with the spooky ambiance and cobwebs and clearly a lobby that isn't quite right. And it's not quite what it should be because it's been abandoned for a long time. But yet there's still people working. And you enter into this spooky boiler room. And you already, I mean, if you're a kid or if you have any kind of anxiety towards lift rides, I mean, you're at like plus 10 at this point in terms of the anxiety scale, correct? At this point, yeah. Have I described it all accurately so far?
You weave a really good tale, and I'm not sure because, yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. Before you start mentioning this, I started thinking about all the other stuff. I'm like, it's a little bit of a different, as you know, vehicle as it leaves, you know, leaves the shaft of the elevator itself. But yeah, the more you're saying this stuff, I'm going, man, it is a really good ride, Tower of Terror.
Correct. So we're on the Tower of Terror. This is in Florida, and we've started the ride, and it goes vertically up, and then it leaves the actual elevator, and it travels inside. And there's a story. There's a story about how this lightning strike and the family disappeared, and you know, it takes you through the Twilight Zone, and you know, the point of light expands, and the vehicle enters, and then you enter in another lift vehicle through the front of the building. And that's where the drop sequence starts. And it's random. It could be randomized 4 drops and lifts, 6 drops and lifts. You never know if it's what height it's going to attain, but ultimately it does attain one of the maximum heights where you get your picture for everybody in Florida.
Yes.
But there's largely no story being told during the actual lift fall sequence. Other than you're already freaking terrified.
It's fun.
You know it's coming and you're freaking terrified already. And then it hits the ground. It doesn't hit the ground. If you're listening, you've never been. It doesn't hit the ground, people. It comes back to ground and then you re-enter and you leave the right vehicle. In California, I don't want to give it away. It follows a soundtrack and you could have one of several random songs. And at each lift and drop, it largely tells you a story. You open to a scene, and the scenes are different every time of the Guardians. So it tells you kind of a story of, I'll just say, a battle. So you see a different scene at each time, and you're surrounded by music from the movies. So this is really harder than I thought because I love the spooky. I have Tower of Terror stuff. I mean, I'm looking at the Jenga Tower of Terror right here above my head. I love it. So I'm really torn here. I'm really torn here because I love the music aspect. And I think Jen Bachman put it really well, where I think Mission Breakout bypasses some of the anxiety and just takes you on a fun attraction that make you scream and laugh and put your hands up and, you know, put up the devil's pitchforks as you're listening to Elvis or something, just enjoying the heck out of it, where you feel like you're more in survival mode at Hollywood Studios, just wanting to finish the attraction.
My kids, if you don't mind me taking over for just a second, you're absolutely correct. My kids and my wife don't like Tower of Terror. They loved Mission Breakout. Okay. Like they don't like, you know, if we ever go to the parks, they're like, Tyler, my little one, enjoys it. And he would like to, you know, he'll go on it. My oldest and my wife, they're like, if I never go on Tower of Terror again, I don't personally care. They loved Mission Breakout. And as you know, it's very, very similar rides. The main thing is the drops, but I think it's just, you're absolutely right. The buildup, everything from the one in Florida is creepy and you're worried and your anxiety. And if you've never done it, you know, you go up to that first, when you first get in the car, you know, you go up the elevator. And if you don't know, you're expecting that drop right away. And then all of a sudden, like it shakes a little bit and the car comes out of the shaft and it goes through a scene. You're like, oh my God, that wasn't even the drop. You know, you're on pins just waiting for that one, where Mission Breakout was just like a party from second one.
Correct.
So I'm going, this is really, really tough. Cause I was like, oh, this is easy. Mission Breakout blows it away. But I'm going, you're right. There's so much story and there's so much more. And the ride vehicle is definitely better in Florida. However, I don't even know now. Because so I had so much fun on Mission Breakout. It was a blast.
So here's what I would do. I would say that I love the queue. The queue is so well themed in Florida. I'm going to give the nod to the queue in Florida. But as far as ride vehicle itself, How many people do you know that got off Tower of Terror and got off high-fiving and laughing and joking and like, I got to do that again, and went to the gift shop and immediately wanted to buy something from the attraction? Yeah, that happens at Tower of Terror. But yes, you get off and you're more relieved. Yes. You get off this attraction and you're slapping each other and giving high fives. So yes, I would say, even though you don't travel, you know, horizontally through the hotel, I would say the attraction itself is Mission Breakout. The queue is Walt Disney World, at least in my opinion.
I think after hearing you, I'll go with that as well. Because again, the vehicle, everything is still better in Florida. But again, you're absolutely right. There was so much fun in California. And my kids, I think it's not as scary. It's fun. They've got the music. You're seeing characters that you love and enjoy versus, you know, my kids probably are sitting there. My oldest one, you know, doesn't mind. He likes coasters and stuff, but like sometimes darker stuff could like freak him out. Like again, like the queue at the Mummy could like make him a little edgy. You know, he'll still do it, but it makes him edgy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Indiana Jones, maybe a little bit, not as much as Mummy. Mummy's really, really dark and creepy in there. And Tower of Terror, I mean, I guess he's not a huge fan of the drops as much, but I'm sure it's probably the whole ambiance, everything creepy as well. Mission Breakout, they all had a blast, would all have hopped on. If there was a 5-minute wait, we would have hopped on immediately and done it over and over again because it's so much fun. Mm-hmm.
So we've had 10 attractions. You initially made a point to say that you thought of another attraction. Were you thinking Splash Mountain, Scott? Were you thinking Splash?
No, I wasn't because we didn't do Splash. So I didn't want to talk about that just because I didn't, I didn't want to say anything I really wasn't sure of. I thought Haunted Mansion.
You know what? Haunted Mansion was actually on the list, but how did I pass it by? It's on the list. Maybe I just numbered them incorrectly. Hang on. We'll talk about Haunted Mansion then. We'll talk about it briefly. Splash Mountain, if you need a comparison, guys, the indoor-outdoor attraction, as far as queue, is almost identical. The Florida version of the ride is longer. There's more to the Florida version than the California version. It's just a longer attraction. So I would say actually for that, it's a tie for queue. And then as far as ride, it's Walt Disney World for Splash Mountain, while it's still known as Splash Mountain. Yeah. So you know what? I'm sorry. I did actually number them incorrectly. I have one that wasn't actually numbered, so I apologize. Haunted Mansion. Let's talk about the mansion at the very end of it.
So this is where I was like, this is going to be tough. And then you just made Guardians of the Galaxy and Tower of Terror super tough.
Gotcha.
But this one,
it is.
Yeah, it's okay. Queue-wise, you know, Haunted Mansion, Florida, a lot of it's outside, but then you've got the themed queue where you're going through the graveyard and you're seeing the different, you can play the little the piano organ type thing. They've got all the different scenes, the jokes, there's a lot more going on. The Haunted Mansion Disneyland is just literally outside chained queues. Right. And then you go inside the building. So, I mean, in my opinion, Walt Disney World absolutely just blows it away.
No comparison. It is the creepy heavy hitter in the corner of the Magic Kingdom, and your eyes drawn to it as soon as you get through Liberty Square. Even when you're in Fantasyland, you're kind of seeing it. It is the one that your eye is drawn to. Mm-hmm. And I agree. The queue for Walt Disney World is far superior. As far as attractions itself, though, I was picking up a lot of very similar things there. I couldn't quite tell a lot of difference.
Very similar. A lot of the stuff that, I mean, again, go inside a room, you wait, the door opens, you go in, you know, the stretching room, all very, very similar. Again, the one in Disneyland is you actually do move and go to a different level. You go lower. But I mean, overall, identical. But then once you get out at Disneyland, you walk through another queue area, like where they've got the paintings on the wall, that the regular paintings and like the lightning flashes, and you know, they change, and the girl all of a sudden is Medusa and she's got snakes in her hair, and the horse skeleton, you know, it was a horse turned into like a skeleton. You know, it's got that in the queue, whereas in Disney World you load on your Doom buggy and that's one of the first scenes that you go through. Mm-hmm. So the ride is definitely longer in Disney World. And Haunted Mansion is probably my overall favorite ride at Disney World. Okay. Not the best ride, but just like, I just love the ride. I love everything about the ride. Like Rise of the Resistance is definitely a better, more impressive ride. Mm-hmm. But Haunted Mansion is just kind of like, you know, overall sentimental favorite type thing. Great ride. And just, I love the ride.
Okay.
And, very similar, but longer.
I did want to say that actually, you know what? It was my fault for missing it because I don't have it actually listed as Haunted Mansion. Due to my ignorance, I literally has it listed as HM, and then I just bypassed HM. I just missed the. So yes, it's on the list. I would say that I've been to both now, the Nightmare Before Christmas in California and the regular version. I didn't enjoy the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, really? You
know, no, I did not at all. So
I'm always sad that I've never gotten the Nightmare Before Christmas version. I've never been in, you know, October, wherever it starts. And
Scott, I can't get through the movie. I cannot watch the whole movie. It loses me every time at about the 25-minute mark. I'm like, this is not good. And I can't even get through the movie. So I can't relate to Jack and Sally. I can't relate to any of that. So the attraction itself always was lost on me. I do appreciate the historical approach, you know, and it's not an original attraction. Actually, that show house sat vacant for a long time, and they played it as part of the story over in California. Mm. So I can appreciate where it's located. And I would tend to agree, though. You know, when I think of the Haunted Mansion, when I think of a Superior, maybe it's just because the one I always knew was Florida. Mm-hmm. That's the one I'm going to gravitate to and say is a better story. Maybe it's just because the queue sets it up so well that it just feels like a better experience to me.
It's a longer ride. It also, mm-hmm. there's the whole Escher, you know, the Escher stairs at Disney World. You have the stairs mm-hmm. that go to Crazy Dead and he's watching the footsteps go up. There's none of that in Disneyland. I noticed that immediately. That was a missing scene. Mm-hmm. They're very, very similar, but I mean, just for the fact that the one in Disney World is a little bit longer, has a couple extra scenes, I've got to go Disney World on this one.
Okay. So we've done now 11, you know, technically 12 with Splash Mountain. So we've done a few comparisons. We know we've missed some. We've missed, you know, Peter Pan's when they were comparable and Snow White's when they were comparable. And there are a variety of things that I know we've glossed past. And it was only an attempt for timing. I would say that both parks are deserved of a longer trip. If you're trying to, you know, many people, when we were saying, hey, we're taking a Disneyland trip, they're like, yeah, we did it too in one day. There are so many details you miss in each park if you're just not paying attention. Well, we developed fun games to play during the park, and our families entertained themselves for four days.
You developed fun games.
Well, we could have spent significantly longer at each park doing fun things and just hanging out together. The reason why I'm even bringing this up was we just happened to walk into a shop. It was Merlin's shop located by the Bippity Boppity Boutique in Disneyland. And Murray and I were talking to the woman who was there, and she was a fan of Sword in the Stone. She was completely ready to tell us about her store, right? We assume a store sells the same goods, right? The merchandise is going to be similar. You see some of the anniversary stuff. You see some ornaments. You see some sunblock. And like every store is different. It's wrong. Like she was so ready to tell us the backstory of her store. You never expected it. She highlighted stuff that was on the top and on the top of cabinets and maps that I never paid attention to. She had her guns blazing. This was her moment to shine. The spotlight hit and she was firing information off and she was so passionate about it. And I realized even the stores, we know this, right? The detail is just as important for some of these places as the actual function. She was ready to tell the story and I would have completely missed the story. Yeah. And there were, you know, examples of the Da Vinci and examples of skulls and examples of, there was a backstory to the story, to the store that I never would have picked up on. So I would encourage you, if you go there, don't go there for these 12 attractions, these 20 attractions. Like, let yourself get immersed into these smaller details and really observe, because you're going to pick up so much more. Don't be afraid to talk to cast members. Like, this woman was ready. Murray and I were inundated with the backstory of Merlin all of a sudden that we had never known. And all of a sudden we left, we were like, we better watch that movie again. You know, we haven't seen it for 25 years. So I would say take the time and really do that park correctly. Don't try and cram it in one day. If one day is all you got, that's still a great day. But if you have more, please budget more so you can absorb.
Yeah, like we you know, together, you know, we did 4 days and, you know, I did five, you did four together. And I could have gone for a little bit more. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anything else that we haven't talked about as far as attractions, there'll be a trip report coming, you know, that will, you know, talk about food and whatnot, but anything else, Scott?
Not that I can think of offhand. I will say this has nothing to do with the attractions or anything. I'm sure it'll be mentioned 50 times in the trip report, but that was one of the most fun vacations I've had in a long time. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, it's because of all the families there. You know, Disneyland was, you know, if it was just my family, we would have had fun. But I mean, we had a blast. My kids had a blast. My kids thanked us for taking us on the vacation, which is, it's not that they're not normally like appreciative, but you know, they don't normally sit there and like, thank you so much for taking us on that trip. Like, they had a really good time.
Outstanding. So
it was a lot of fun.
We're going to hear more about this in a trip report. So again, we didn't talk much about DVC today. And honestly, that's part of the cool thing is, you know, Scott, you know, he has these companies. The reason why he has these companies is he's a Disney fan. So when we have a Disney conversation, Scott's a really good guy to have on. But if you're looking to consider selling your contract or buying Disney Vacation Club, it's buy and sell DVC or dvc-rental.com or Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC Facebook group. Feel free to hit them up. They have, that's correct? Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC, correct?
Yes.
I always second guess myself, embarrassingly, like I should know this after all this time.
Come on, man. You said it. I'm sitting in my head going, Disney Vacation Club Resales. Yeah, that's right. That's got to be right. Yeah. Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC. Yeah.
Or join our listener group, EDCOT, and if you could give us a review, my earlier request, we'd appreciate that. So for my buddy Scott and for myself, we hope you enjoyed the show. We hope we made you smile today. Have a great day, everybody.
Love you guys.